Happy Easter, everyone. I hope you've all had plenty of Easter eggs. I love chocolate, but to tell you the truth, I'm always a little bit disappointed with Easter eggs. They're disappointing because they look so big with so much chocolate, and yet they're hollow. They're like what so many people in this world put their hope in. Things that look great, but end up being hollow. Get-rich-quick schemes, faddy diets, teach yourself a new language in a month. They're all empty promises. Experience has taught us that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So many of us have been taken in by empty promises that we are wary of anything or anyone that tells us we can have something for nothing. The truth of the matter is, the world is full of empty promises. We watch TV and the advertisements tell us that we can be happy, sexy, rich or famous if we only purchase a certain product. It doesn't take long before we've been fooled enough to know that the world's promises are full of emptiness. Is that how the disciples felt that first Easter? That all that they'd hoped for had just been an empty promise? They'd been with Jesus for 3 years and had come to the belief that he was the Messiah who was going to save them. Then that fateful Passover came along and everything seemed to go wrong. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples and after a mockery of a trial was condemned to death by crucifixion. The disciples watched Jesus die, and with him died their hopes of the Messiah. Jesus was killed during Passover, a holiday that celebrates God keeping his promises to his people. But their Messiah had been crucified, died, and was laid in a tomb. Imagine how the disciples felt. Wasn't he supposed to save them? Wasn't he supposed to set them free from Rome? They probably thought Jesus had broken his promise. But God is different. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. Instead of promises full of emptiness, at Easter he gave us emptiness that is full of promise. This morning I'd like us to think about the promises of Easter, concentrating on three of them. Each promise is marked by something empty. An empty cross, an empty tomb, and empty burial clothes. It's the very fact that each of these is empty that assures us that God's promises are real. Because they couldn't hold Jesus. Because he couldn't be contained by the cross, the tomb, or even his burial clothes, we can be sure of the fullness of God's promises in our lives. Let's begin with the empty cross. Because the cross was empty, we have the promise of forgiveness for our sins. In Mark chapter 15, verses 25 to 28, we read, "It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left." There were 3 crosses on that hillside outside Jerusalem, but it's the one in the middle that I want you to think about. That's the one that Jesus hung on. In your mind's eye, take a close look at it. Look up at the top. Those bloodstains are from the crown of thorns that was crushed into Jesus' skull. The stains on the ends of the crossbar, they came from the nails that were driven into his hands. The main beam, it was soaked in blood. Blood from his back. Blood that was shed when the Roman soldiers flogged him. It also has stains from the blood that poured from his side when another Roman soldier ran a spear through his side to see if he was dead. He was. Don't ever believe anyone who tells you he was just faking it. There was no question. Jesus was dead. The soldiers knew it. The Romans knew it. The disciples knew it. Jesus really did die. That's why I want you to see the cross this morning. It's the place where he died, but today it's empty. Empty of Jesus' body, but at the same time full, full of God's promises, full of hope for you and me. The promise of the empty cross is that you and I stand forgiven, because it was on that cross that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Sin. Now, there's a word that's not popular anymore, but the simple fact of the matter is we have all sinned, every one of us. You, me, the person sitting next to you, behind you and in front of you. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only person who has ever lived a sinless life is Jesus. Everyone else has failed. And because we have sinned, we deserve God's just punishment. But when you look at that empty cross, it's a reminder of God's promise that we have been forgiven. On that cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. When Jesus Christ breathed his last, he cried out, "It is finished." The penalty was paid. On that cross, that empty cross, was where his blood was shed for our salvation. The first empty promise of Easter is the empty cross, filled with the promise of forgiven sins. Then there's the empty tomb. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 6, it says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" Jesus had risen. He was alive. The tomb was empty. And what a tremendous promise that holds. In the fact of the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise to every one of us that we too will be raised to eternal life. God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection is the core of Christianity. It sets our faith apart from every other belief system in the world. We don't hold to empty promises. We have an empty tomb. Christ's crucifixion and resurrection act as the culmination of every promise God ever made. Jesus defeated death and God won the war. To those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, death has lost its sting. It's no longer something to be feared. What fear is there when we have the promise that one day we will live forever with him in heaven? The empty tomb is God's way of saying to us, "Relax, my child. I took the sting out of death. Death can't hurt you anymore." Why was the tomb empty? Because Jesus was alive. The angel said, "He is risen." And the promise to us is that we too can live, even if we die. That's the second promise of Easter. But it doesn't end there. There's one more promise that I want you to know about Easter. It's the promise of the empty burial clothes. John chapter 20, verses 3 to 7, saying, So Peter and the other disciple, that was John, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. After the angel had spoken to the women who were the first to see that the tomb was empty, they immediately went back to the apostles and reported what had happened. With this incredible news, Peter and John immediately raced back to the tomb to see for themselves. When they got there, John stopped just outside the tomb, but Peter ran right in. It didn't take them long to discover that the tomb was just the way the women had said it was, empty. But that's not all. Inside, Peter found the clothes that Jesus had been buried in. They too were empty. This could only mean one thing. Jesus was alive. If someone had stolen his body, they wouldn't have removed the burial clothes and folded them up neatly and left them where they lay. Truly, Jesus was resurrected. It wouldn't be long before Jesus himself would appear to Mary Magdalene and to all of the apostles, and eventually to over 500 people. He would sit down with them, walk with them, talk with them, eat with them. Once again, they'd be able to spend time with their Lord. You see, that's the promise of the empty burial clothes. Jesus is alive and wants to be with you. Jesus isn't some nebulous force out in the universe influencing people. He's a living saviour, and he wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us, just as he did with his disciples 2,000 years ago. Think about that. The cross couldn't hold him. The tomb couldn't contain him. The burial clothes were unnecessary because Jesus is alive. He had skin and bones and a face and was recognisable. And he talked and touched and loved and healed. He did it on the day of his resurrection, and he does it still today. And most importantly, he wants to do it with you. I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? I don't mean, do you know about him? I mean, do you truly know Jesus Christ? You see, we can know about someone and not truly know them. We've all heard of Rishi Sunak, Tiger Woods, King Charles. These are people that we know something about, but does any of us really know them? You can know Jesus Christ. You can know his love, his care, his healing and his forgiveness. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified, buried and resurrected. That first Easter Sunday, as the women went to the grave, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They were not yet aware of the wonderful promises of that day. Off in the distance stood an empty cross, the promise that their sins were forgiven. At the end of their journey was an empty tomb, the promise of their eternal life. Inside the tomb were empty burial clothes, the promise that they would once again have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, their living Saviour. The promises that they discovered that day, you too can have today. You too can know the freedom of forgiven sins. You too can know the promise of eternal life in heaven. you too can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. You just need to accept that he is the risen Son of God who died to take the punishment for your sins and welcome him into your life as your Lord and Saviour. Without Easter, the Bible would be useless. Our whole faith and the power behind everything we believe and teach are wrapped up in the fact that Jesus died, then rose from the grave. Without a resurrection, Jesus would have been another good, well-intentioned individual, cut down in his prime. But Easter did happen, and because of that, we can place our trust in God's promises. Jesus overcame death and established himself as having authority over all things. That means when Jesus makes a promise, we can believe him. All of these promises may seem hard to believe. The good news is the one who promised has proved himself trustworthy. Every Easter, we are reminded that nothing is too big for God to handle, and nothing can keep us from him. The greatest promise of all is that even though we should be eternally separated from God, Jesus came to earth and gave up his life to bridge the gap between us and God. Jesus chose to reconcile all of us who believe, and he was willing to face death and suffering to do so. This Easter, let's celebrate like we have a God that refused to leave us on our own. He is a God of great promises, a God who is faithful. Amen.